Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Hello, welcome to Talk Straight.
This is Minister Juan, sitting in for Pastor Dockery on behalf of Talk Straight. We just desire you to call in, be involved with us, and pray that everything is in order. I know Dr. Dockery is doing a great deed, so in his absence, I will sit in as co-host. I've been sitting in with him for a little while now, and it's been a great show. He has done a great job and decided that he would have me to sit in for him on this night. And I'm grateful to be able to do that, have a dialogue with this God's people who desire to call in, to be a part of something so wonderful. And always remember, this is the day that the Lord God has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad right now. I can say that God has been better to me than I have been to myself. And I believe I have a witness that happens to be you, and you're tuned in. We want to get right into what we will be talking about on this night. And remember, you can call the number 657-383-0944. We'd be glad to hear from you by way of comments or questions concerning the topic tonight. And the topic we will deal with tonight is how I overcame. Glory to God. It's a testimonial opportunity for you to share with us and the viewers how you was able to overcome. So again, the topic, how I among your successes, is what we are looking to hear from the people tonight. Because I know you don't want to keep it to yourself. God has been good to you, then surely you wouldn't mind telling someone else, because we believe that together we stand and divided we will fall. So if you withhold your testimony, that means you may be selfish and don't want nobody else to know that God has been good to you. But I can't help but to say that I'm not ashamed to tell somebody that God has been good to me. And so I don't want to withhold my testimony, but I want to hear from others. Just in case, you know, we need something to back us up, let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about a testimony. There's a man that I believe that was caught up into his own way of doing things. And he discovered within himself that he was an insane man. But when he got himself together and knew that the Lord had blessed him, he decided to say these encouraging words, according to Ephesians chapter number 4, around verse number 17. He said these words, that this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walketh not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And then he goes on in the next verse, according to verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Glory to God. And I understand that myself, and I knew myself, I was honest with myself, that my heart was blinded. So I didn't understand the power of darkness in which I was in. And some of you may be a witness to that, and you can get honest with yourself and tap into what verse number 17 says, according to Ephesians chapter 4. When Paul said these words, this I say, sound like to me he was personal. Therefore, he said, and testify. To testify means you must have something that you need to say, something in your walk. It happens to be you. We ask you to call in right now and share with us what we will be talking about on this night. I believe that there's good news on behalf of, again, Pastor Dockery and his absence. He's doing a great deed, and he's out on the campaign trail doing what has been assigned for him to do concerning the will of God. So he asked me again to set in. And again, it's something about when obedience comes into your mindset and you know that the Lord has been good to you. And I remember years ago when I used to attend church around about my very first time as a grown-up, but I didn't have no relationship with God. And I used to hear people in the church say things. I didn't see it in the Bible because I didn't have one, and I don't think they read it in the Bible themselves, but I just heard the quote. I would call it a cliche. And they would say things like this: I'm going to praise him if I have to praise him all by myself. Well, I didn't understand it then. But they told me, you may not understand it now, but you'll understand it better in the by and by. And so right here, right now, just in case I'm the only one on the line, I'll do all that I can do to encourage those that's listening, let you know I'm going to praise him if I have to praise him all by myself. Glory to God. Because I got the word of God before me. Amen. All right,
Pastor Waller, we have a caller. Ending in 3072.
Amen. We welcome you to Talk Straight. Glory to God. Who am I talking with? Who's on the line?
Hey, this is 3072. Hi, Pastor Waller.
Bless God, 3072. Welcome. I'm glad to hear from you. So now I'm not alone now. I praise
no,
God.
No, you're not.
Amen. You know the words, two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. He said he would be in the midst of us. And so I, again, welcome you and thank you for calling in on behalf of Pastor Docker in his absence. He asked me to set in for him, and I thought about obedience, and I knew it was better than sacrifice. So I said, well, I'll step up and I'll do what you asked me to do, part of the will of God. He's on the camp. Pain trail, and he's doing a good thing.
Yeah.
So, amen. And I just wanted to encourage you to let you know the topic tonight that we are going to talk about is how I overcame. It's a testimony of success. That's what we're looking for. Someone else talk about how good God has been to you and what God has done for you by way of knowing is worth telling somebody, because to withhold your testimony would mean that you're ashamed or you want to keep it to yourself and you don't want nobody else to know how good God has been to you. But I know that's not 3072. Glory to God.
No.
And so,
no.
I give way to you. And again, it's a wonderful topic because I saw it in the book, and I know you stretch very well about me. You make me aware that you love to hear what the Bible says, and I thank you for that, because you not only get motivated on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you'll be a motivator day by day concerning my thoughts of what you stand for. And I know you love God, and I'm sure you would too about what he's done for you. And so what do you think about that? I overcame. So talk to me about that.
I think, man, it's great, and I can bear witness to overcoming, you know, in different phases and stages in my life, and God is truly, man, an awesome, on-time God all the time. I mean, he works every day. Somebody was arguing the show last time about, you know, whether he moves in mysterious ways or not, but for me, it's been always mysterious how, you know, I could fall, and before I know it, I'm back up again. I don't even remember, you know, trying to, but God always just provides and makes a way for me out of no way. So, and I'm sure that there's many others out there who's not ashamed to, you know, tell their story too. I'm just glad to be on here. I'm glad you went ahead with the show tonight.
That's God. I appreciate that. And you just said something that was magical to me, because it is a mystery. And I think, you know, I always like to, again, back it up with the word of God, because when you brought that out and you made known of that about how good God has been to you, and sometimes, you know, we don't know when he's going to come, and then you said it, that he, in other words, he may not come when you want him to, but he was always in time, and that's the beauty of getting to know him. You may not know how to exercise things the way you would like to in the beginning, but he's there, so whenever you do happen to be mindful of that, I didn't do it like I would like to. I'd like to get a little bit better relationship with you so I can perfect this thing. But here he comes. Say, but I got you covered. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
So that's what I like about this. And, you know, in the book of Romans, you know, if you will, it talks about it in the 16th chapter about his mysteries. And when you say work in mysterious ways, whatever, I'm going to just share this right here. And for those of you that's listening, and you can call in, and you can bear witness as 3072 was just doing. Notice in verse number 25, according to Romans chapter 16, and listen to what he says here. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And then he goes on and said, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There it is. That's that revealed knowledge, that thing that we ourselves didn't know about. His secrets belong to him until he revealed them to us. Like, I never thought I would become a minister. No way. I wouldn't have selected me, you see. But that was the mystery of God. Yes.
Sorry
for
interrupting. We have another caller. Last 4 digits, 0390.
Yes, this is Brother Rich. I'm back here with my brothers and sisters. How y'all doing?
All right, my brothers, man. Who's speaking again?
Definitely, Donald Richardson coming out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, Brother Richardson, God bless you, man. Welcome to Talk Straight. We were just talking about 3072, and I was just talking about the mysteries of God and how, you know, I was just reading the scripture in Romans chapter 16, according to verse 25. We're talking tonight about how I overcame. It's a testimonial thing. You know, we're talking about successes, good successes. When you have a relationship with God and you knew within yourself how you overcame, and so you don't want to withhold. We were talking about that. Why would I withhold good information that somebody else may need to hear so they too can try him and then find out that they also could have a testimony of how good God has been to you? So we shouldn't be ashamed of him. But we also were talking about the mystery, because unseen things that we may not know about right now. 3072 was saying he may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time, and that's
Can
the joy.
I,
yes, go ahead. Talk to us.
I was just going to add to what you were saying again back about that mystery. Just last week, I was getting off of work, deep tired from working 60 hours. I was so excited at the end of the shift to be going home because I was done for the day. So anyway, on the way out to my car, I noticed a man who appeared to be in distress. This man was It was hot for one out there. It was very hot. But he was on a walker that was uneven. He was wearing a jumpsuit from our hospital, and it looked like he was mentally, you know, not there. So I and another lady approached him, and while other people just kept walking back, you know, like nothing was going on, or, you know, every now and then somebody would, what's going on? You know, why ask what's going on if you're not going to try to help out anyway? But this poor man was in serious distress. He had feces all over him, flies flying out, you know. And, wow, I mean, again, my initial thought when I came at the door was to go home. But back to mysteries. You know, the Bible spoke about people entertaining angels.
Yeah.
And not knowing, you know, you don't know where God going to place you, why he going to put you there, who he going to put before you, what, and it's not for you to know. Everything is not for us to know, but it
is
for us to move accordingly to his will. And if we do that, if we do that, we don't need to try to figure out the mysteries, and we can just behold the glory then.
Oh, my.
That's it. But, yeah, that had just bothered me so bad. I couldn't leave. Yeah. I couldn't leave until he got help. So had happened was he was crazy, and he did refuse treatment at first, and they let him go. But I know if he stayed out there, he was done for. So if they came back and got him and cleaned him up, and I don't know what happened from there. But, you know, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. To think, you know, think about Jesus back in the day when he was carrying those crosses. He probably went through stuff like that.
Yeah,
he probably was placed by the Father in situations like that where nobody would stop, nobody would help, nobody would encourage. Instead, people just stick daggers and, you know, it's just, it's sad, but it don't have to be if we just stick to his plan for us.
That's outstanding. I mean, you said so much there. And Brother Richard, before you come in, let me respond to 3072 because she got us busy. You know, coming out the gate, we are very much on the right track and dealing with testimonies. And that's a powerful testimony because that is a part of what Jesus would have done himself. And that's the load that he did carry. And let me give you a reference about how he was able to carry this out. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus went through cities and villages teaching and preaching and healing every kind of sickness and disease that was among the people. But it was when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. See, that's what you had. You had compassion, and he was moved. When you on your way home from work, excited about going home, done your deed for the day, and yet still it wasn't done because of the mystery and the secret things that belong to God. And so, you know, that just blessed me to know that.
And Pastor
Waller,
To me, all I know is God was testing me, you know, to see what you going to do. What you going to do? I was hungry. I was ready to go get some food. I was ready. But God, man, I couldn't leave. I couldn't. I was frozen there.
Couldn't leave. And let me tell you what the scripture says according to the revelation of that verse. Yes. I'm going to get back there.
We have another caller. Wanted to welcome them to the conversation. Caller number. Last four digits, 8112.
8112, yes. Welcome to Talk Straight. Thank you for calling in. Who are we talking with?
This is Diana.
8112.
How's everyone?
All right.
Hey.
God bless.
Right.
How are you? Well, welcome. Glad that you're here. We're talking about how I overcame. Bless God for you. We'll get right back to you. Hold that thought for just a moment, and we're going to get a response, and I'm going to come back to Brother Richard. And then we would ask you also to talk to us, Sister Diane. Now, we were talking about something that had to do with what the scripture says when he says, but now it's made manifest. And this is the thing that I wanted to share about what was made manifest, because this came from what you, 3072, was talking about. It came to pass, and he says, God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. See, it was your faith that you was obeying your faith. What are you going to do is what you ask.
you know, God was going to see whether you're going to utilize your faith and say, yes, I'm going home. I'm on my way home, and I'm hungry. I need to go do some things. But you've seen an opportunity to have compassion on someone. And, yes, that's what Jesus had to deal with. He was already busy doing what he was doing and on his way. But, yes, still, when he seen the multitude of people that were scattered and lost and was without any direction, he had compassion on them. And that's what we must do as well. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Yeah. Brother Richardson, what do you think about that, brother? We're talking about how I overcame him and what you do with this testimony, your lifestyle, that would cause good success in somebody else's life. So 3072 said the man, she don't know what happened after that, but they had to come and get him. He was straying away at first, and it's a good thing she's done her part. And then the rest to it is on the one, after she planted the seed, somebody else had to put some water on it and get the man back in perspective, you know. How about that?
Well, I tell you that I'm definitely glad that the Lord was able to use that young lady in that situation as a tool, not only to teach her, but to teach others that were around her at that particular time, as well as the young man himself. And like you said, like the young lady said, you know, angels come through people.
God sends
those angels down to say, hey, let me test them just to see how strong their faith is in me, regardless of the situation, you know. I think it was very commendable. You know, I have to say, I think it was very commendable, and, you know, I take my hat off to your sister and, you know, anyone else you know, is able to see those signs that God gives us. Not every other day, but every day he gives us signs. Yes.
I was just going to say, and that was just it. Again, man, I got like, man, it was, everybody was going home, so everybody saw him.
Passing by.
another lady are the only two people that stopped to try to see about what's going on. What I wanted to add to what you were saying, though, and it's not just about being commended, but it's about trying to help where you can help. Do you get what I'm saying? I felt so bad even after the fact, even after they came and took him back inside. I'm on my my car in tears almost, thinking, what if this whole man had to go to sleep like that? He had a big bag of potato chips and trying to hold on to it with the walker. It looked like somebody probably bought that for him. That's his dinner. That hurt me so bad. That hurt. And it hurt even worse to see that, man, there should have been a multitude of people around him to help. But it wasn't. That's the world we live in today.
And guess what, sister? That's the part right there.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear. That's the part that makes it commendable.
Yeah,
okay?
It is.
Now, the act in the whole situation, you know, once again, is a very gratitudable, you know, act from yourself. But that's when I said, you know, commendable, just that part alone, because who's to say that you could have been one of those people that said, I'm not thinking about it.
And
you could have easily said that, but you know, you went against the grain, and you know, you went against the grain. And when I say against the grain, you know, sometimes the Lord will allow the devil to show us things when it's really test to him. A lot of people they don't get it. They don't get it. So and when I say the test from the, you know, it was a test from God, but he allowed the devil. Well, you know, your average person, like you said, the multitude of people, they walked away. They didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, oh, well, whatever he has on him, it'll get on me. I'm tired. I don't have
time. And honestly, I was sick, too. I was sick, too. But, I'm like, people, this is a hospital where this man should come to. I just, it just done, and it's still affecting me. I'm still affected by it. I'm still affected.
The compassion lingers. See, when you have compassion, it's a way of life. It's not something that you turn on and turn off. You see, I mean, you know when to hold and when to fold. You knew when it was sincere or when it was not. And so you saw a great opportunity, and I praise God as you were saying it. So that's what good success is. And God is looking for people who will step up and, as you say, even in the midst of being tired, I want you to understand, you was at work all day doing what you had always been assigned to. You're ready to go home. But once again, the mysteries of God, the secrets being unfolded and everything. So that's Sister Diane. What do you think about that? We are talking about, the power of a testimony. That compassion is brand new every morning, according to the Word of God. So thank you, Sister Diane. What you got to say to us? I know you got some powerful testimonies you get with your life, and you're not ashamed to tell us.
No, I'm not ashamed to testify about anything that I've endured, as well as blessed about. I think what she did, as said, was a very noble thing, because, as also was stated, a lot of people walk by, but they don't know. It could happen to you. It could happen to
That's
me.
That's right, girl.
Brother,
yes.
Just family. That man belongs to somebody in this world.
Yes.
And because he didn't help himself, a lot of people, they do that. They shine their back on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is sad. And it is something that, like you said, people with compassion, it does linger. Because I'm a compassionate person. I put myself in predicaments, and then I'm thinking, I was told before, you didn't break it. You can't fix everybody's problems. But it looks like it comes to knock on my door, and they wind up in the house with me. It's not that I'm trying to fix their problems. It's just that I care and I'm trying to help.
Right, yeah.
In that sense of myself. So I understand what she's saying.
Yeah, outstanding. I mean, you're full of compassion. I've heard many times, you talk, and I know how you reach out to others and reach out to people that's affiliated with your kids and things like that. So, compassion, it lingers, when it's in your heart. And you're grateful and you're appreciative of God. You know, in the inside of the will of God, there is a change, and that's what we really have a right to exercise in our life.
And I don't mean to cut you off, Pastor Waller, but Reverend Dockery, with the show, oftentimes he's asked, what can we do to help, the community or the youth?
That's what
we can do. That's what. Maybe we can't reach 1,000 people, but if everybody just did something kind like that, we can start breaking yokes. Yokes can be broke.
Yeah, you're right.
If just one person did something good for the next person, like it used to be.
Yeah, it's amazing that you said that, break every chain. That song's going to break every chain. When them chains are so powerful, when it's time for the togetherness, we can start breaking them on the north, south, east, and the west. It would be amazing, to see people. And I use the church a lot by way of an example, because I feel like they have the Word of God inside there, and it speaks about compassion in such a way that, that that's no way you can shun anyone when, as you said, Sister Diane, it could be any one of us. You want somebody to have compassion on you, whether they walk away like those other ones was doing 30-72, as you said. Some may continue to do that, but what about that one that make a stop? Good God of
mine.
That man that's on the inside is just rejoicing in spite of. So that's what Brother Richardson was talking about when you talk about you commendable. That's good success. You know what I mean? You took time out, and then you stepped up to a situation that it also bothered you, but you still stepped up to it. And that in itself, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. So we have to have faith.
Yeah.
And it took, that was my goodness. Please God.
And then that when security came out there to get him, to take him back inside with the wheelchair, because he could not make it. He could not walk from all the way up there. They were upset. He's a frequent flyer here. He does this and this and that. And, okay, so, and he refused treatment. Sir is simple. Yeah. Sir, are you willing to get treatment? He said yes. Yeah. He said yes. Now, so can you help him, please?
Well, guess what, sister? And when I hear you, it's funny. When you know, since I've been on this, where the doc actually brings entrepreneurs together, and you know, on a spiritual adventure where we can try to solve some things. Not saying that everything will get solved, but you know. I'm the type of guy, if I hear something, that lets me know, you know, boom, God has given me something from someone. Yep. So when you said that, it takes me back to when the people were being led out of captivity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after 40 days, after 40 years wandering through the wilderness. They still didn't believe. You know what I'm saying? You had a few to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But even after that, they still didn't believe. So going back to the young man that refused treatment, it's the same situation. It's just in a different.
And
the same way God didn't give up on us even after we refused to believe. He still continues to give us a chance, and still right today, still doing the same thing, giving us chances after chances after chances after chances. You know, but once we get to that revelation part, that's a whole new ball game. So I won't go there.
Yeah.
But
once you said that,
sister, it kind of sparked for me to say that. You know, but definitely, I'm just. So once again, I'm kind of teared up inside because that takes a lot of heart. I'm not a hospital guy. I don't like hospitals. Ain't no sense to me shucking and jiving. I'm just gonna keep it honest with you. I probably would have told someone else, hey, can somebody help this guy? Because I don't know. You know,
when I asked him where he was going, he said to the park to go to sleep. I about lost it. Like, what? To the park. Honestly, the man didn't have nowhere to go, and that's why they was kicking him out, because he just some homeless bum. Well, he's still a human being that need help.
And this is
the place where he should be able to come and get it. Even if it's just for a day, even if it's just for a bath, even if it's just for a sack lunch.
That compassion still should be able to linger, basically what you're saying. Let us take a break from it for right now. Keep that same thought, and we'll be ready to come right back. I mean, you know, we're really having a great dialogue, and I think the Spirit of God is moving and stirring up the gift in the people who are speaking, who are listening. When we stir that up together, we know without a doubt that God will get the victory because it pleases Him. As I said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So after this song, after this break right here, we'll come back and we will continue. We got something to offer, and I'll share with you in just a moment, all right, after this song. But it's station break, brother. Bless God. And what we do, if it's not a song coming in, we'll come right back on in and go from where we were going at. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. I want to share something with you all. And then you make comments, if you will, because this right here should fit all of us who are listening and who are talking. And I want you to know what it says in verse 11. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." So
So I want to talk to someone right now about what it means to you, about how you overcame him, the enemy, the wicked one, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Somebody talk to us about that. I mean, I don't want to talk about it, man. I talk about it a lot, amen, and I'm not ashamed to talk about it. But just the thought of knowing the power of a testimony and being able to overcome, see, that's amazing. Some people are out there right now and haven't yet overcame. But through our testimony and being able to speak it, somebody might hear it. Somebody might see it. You know how sometimes they say, I'd rather see a testimony than to hear one. Could you imagine a person being that walking testimony that speaks volume by the, in your actions? And that's what 37 people action stepped out and went over there to assist the person. And that's a powerful testimony in itself. So somebody speak to us about what it means to have the power of the word of God according to your testimony the Lord has done for you.
Brother Rich, man, coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, I think one of the things that at the time I was working, it was a part-time job. You know, I was only getting paid once a month, cleaning buildings, and you know, I was just having financially a hard time with just everything. What direction to go? You know, my priorities. I didn't even have any of my priorities in order. So he spoke to me one night and said, I'm gonna need you to start praying. I said, okay, God, no. Now what do I need to pray? He said, well, I'm gonna need you to pray. You know, the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He making me lie down in green pastures. He restored my soul. Just that part right there.
I did that
every night for about 3 years at home prayer. And, you know, the Lord, he straightened some things out for me. He directed me as far as things to read, the truth. He told me to seek the truth. And while seeking the truth, he told me, you know, the truth might hurt, but I want you to seek it. Even from then till now, you know, it hurts. The truth hurts, but here it is. I'm willing to accept it, understand, and continue and educate others. But you know, when I say the power of God, and then I think it's the understanding the power of God. You know how it flows through us. That's a lot of us fail to understand. And I think another thing that I was that he taught me is that you already have it. You just have to apply.
Brother Richard, if you say, if you agree, I'm going to step in right now if you don't mind. Would you say that you had to continue in prayer, praying without ceasing? Because you said for 3 years you continued to pray that the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, you claimed that you've been trusting your prayers to him, and you was able to receive through the process, walking in expectation. You know, when you walk in expectancy after you've prayed, and one may say, well, he didn't come. You said it earlier, he may not come when you wanted to, whether it's a day, whether it's a year, or even years. You have to continue in prayer, and that's the beauty of prayer. And I love what I was just hearing you say, brother. It made me realize that, again, to continue means you have to not come weary because things didn't happen fast as you would like for it to happen. My goodness. That blessed me right there because I'm still praying, and I know there's power in prayer. No one can strip you when you have that relationship with prayer from you. I have to pray constantly every day, whether it's for 30 seconds, whether it's for however much time, at least you continue to pray. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
And I appreciate the fact that
you was talking about praying. Are you there?
Yeah.
I appreciated he was talking about praying for 3 years. Well, my experience has been heartbreak after heartbreak. God, why didn't I get this? Or why you didn't let me have that? Or, I really wanted this man. Or, you know, God, he hear you. He is blessing you. He's answering your prayer sometime when he don't give you what you asking for.
Yeah.
Oftentimes he is. He know you, that's not what you need. You're not ready for that. And you can't handle this.
Right.
So
now,
we need to bear that in mind. And I've been able to look back over the years that has passed to only, man, rejoice. Like, God, I'm so glad he said no to that. Or, God, I'm glad that didn't come through. Or, God, you know what I'm saying? So we have to be mindful. When we pray and he hear you, you have to start, like he was saying, thinking about it on another level. Maybe that's not what he got for me. Then your prayer should turn from bless me with that man to God bless me with the man that you'll have me to be with. The, you know, whatever the, your prayer is.
Yeah,
so it may not, it's not, he don't hear you. It's not, you know, it's just that maybe what you asking for is not what's best. And that's all that God is going to give you is what's best for you.
Yeah.
That's what he's got for you.
And I can tell you this, sister, that just from experience, from things that I've seen, as well as went through, plenty of times I've asked, to give me this and he gave it to me.
Yeah.
What am I asking?
Yeah.
Hey, give me a car, God. He'll give you a car. But sometimes with God, by him being so awesome, we have to we have to be specific about what we ask him. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so it's and when we're specific about what we ask him for, this is the part where a lot of us kind of get sidetracked on. Once again, he's going to prepare you for what he has in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to go through it, I think we just talked about this last Thursday. A lot of us just, you know, when we ask God for stuff, we want it right then. The next day we'll meet a man or a woman in a suit. She may, you know, she or he may look good and talk, everything may sound good. But, you know, one of the things, my experience, I asked the Lord, you know, God, give me the eyesight. Open my ears up to know what needs to be said. Let that other someone, when I ask them what you want me to ask them, once they answer what needs to be asked, if they say the right thing, then I know I'm in the right place. Now, from like I was telling you, from this was when I was going through my bad times. We're talking almost 12 years ago. Now, sisters and brothers, the Lord has blessed me with a beautiful wife, three or four cars, and I asked them every time, every day I wake up, What have I done to deserve what I have? Guess what he tell me? Well, you son, my son, you might as well get ready because I got some more in store for you. But I give you what I want, before I give you what you want, you got to go through some stuff. And I say, hey, it is, as long as you're willing to be there with me, God, hey, I'm willing to go through it.
That's it.
Now listen to the power of prayer and the things that I know that came from that, as you just shared with us, as well as 3072. And I know Sister Diane got some things that she would like to share as well. But listen to what it says here. When Jeremiah said it in the chapter 33, verse 3, he said these words. He said, and the Lord said, call upon me, and I would answer you. And I would show you great and mighty things that you didn't know anything about. Could you imagine, you know, praying to him, waiting on him? Because it's power in waiting once you pray to him. As I say, whether it be the next day or, you know, whether it be a year from now, it's just the power of when you pray to him, he'll answer you.
That's the first thing he said, you know, call upon me and I'll answer you. Then I will show you great and mighty things that you knew not. That's why Isaiah 40:31 is so unique. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, it takes a person to know that it doesn't feel good in the beginning, because change, it hurts. You know, especially sometimes learning how to wait. You know, for me, if you don't mind, I had to learn how to wait. You know, we talked just not long ago about, you know, I think Pastor Dockery utilized, you know, my life the last time we was online and we were talking. And I had to learn how to wait and deal with, learn to trust him and things like that after having all of the money that they used to have and things like that. And then now I'm back to square one. Don't you know the temptation that comes from a person? It did not feel good to me while I was waiting, but I found out it was good for me. Good God Almighty. I'm talking about yesterday. I had some peace that I didn't have. I prayed for the peace, and this is what he said, and I'm going to open the floor back up. He said these words to me in John 16:33. He said, these things I have said unto you. He said, in me you have peace, but in the world you'll have tribulation. And then he goes on to say, but be good cheer, I've overcome the world. I said, Lord, have mercy. That means he got everything I need. All I got to do is learn how to wait on him. It was not easy. I mean, the temptation came in each and every day throughout the day for so many days, weeks, months, and months. But I overcame. You know, I overcame. Amen. You know, to stand firm, and no matter what the enemy threw at me, 30-72, I never picked that pack up again.
All right.
Amen.
But I said I never picked it up again. I just kept going without. I just kept practicing. Just like I was practicing basketball, I was practicing going without. I said, I'm just glad I don't have this right now. I was going through that because I didn't need it right then. You know, I've already been used to a whole lot of money. So I was just practicing how to. And that's what prayer would do. And I just wanted to share that. And I got a little excited right there because, you know, it's challenging. It really was. It was not easy. You know, that's why I can handle today in whatever state I'm in. You know, I know how to say, okay, I've had it. I know how to say I haven't had it. So now I understand them both, and I thank God for giving me a chance to understand them both. Glory to God.
Right.
Yeah, the floor is back open again. We're talking about the power of prayer and what came from your testimony, how you overcame. And let's talk to Sister Diane. You've been sitting back. Talk to us about some of the things that you had to wait for and how you had to endure, and you finally realized that God came through for you. Are you still here with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I was pretty much listening. I'm very much here. Whatever he's put in front of me to endure, one thing I do know is that I ask him to bless me with better patience sometimes and show me that this is not what you want me to do. Even though I may have done it with people before, and they made me feel like, I don't want to go through this, but they needed me. And I said, if this is how you choose to use me, then show me. And there it goes. And I find myself opening the door again, but it's okay because he never fails me.
Well, you say better patience is what you said, right? Better patience? Lord, I'm like,
My patience get very short, and I get kind of weary then. So I have to ask for that. And that's mostly what I ask for, health and strength. Everybody to be okay. I call around checking on folks all the time. I don't have a problem with that. I feel I'm blessed to be able to pick the phone up. Some people, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, can't even touch a phone because they can't utilize their hands.
My goodness.
Right
about that. It's a blessing to me.
Yes.
I'm grateful for it. And I'm able to move around as well as I can. Only by the grace of God, let me say that.
Yeah.
We bless God for that. We know that, you know, it's power in getting to know God and calling up on him.
there are a lot of people who just be honest with themselves, you know, just refuse to call God. And it has nothing to do with, you know, and I don't talk about myself. I just didn't want to disrespect God. I think that's what it was. So I didn't want to call upon him then. But then later on I heard someone say, whosoever will, let him come. And see, that means that anybody, you know, that he has dealt a measure of faith to. And I didn't know those things. I didn't know that. But when we find out and discover, that's why it's good to go tell other people about how good God is. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So all of us who have faith can utilize it, or we can misuse it. We don't have to do nothing without faith, or we can do something with it. And that's the beauty of being able to be in fellowship with the Lord and getting to know him, as I heard Brother Richard earlier say, that the Lord is my shepherd. See, it's easy to say that, and I used to hear this most of all at funerals because I've been to many of them, and I used to hear people quote that at funerals most of the time. But I often wonder, do they know what that means? If the Lord is your shepherd, that means you can't trust you because he's your leader. He's your guide.
Yeah.
And trust him. So I have a right to follow him. And when you say something about he making me to lie down in green pasture, that means he's directing me, even though it hurts sometimes, because I'm getting ready to experience change now. And so it's growth. But growth at the beginning sometimes just doesn't feel good, but it's good for you. And that's the beauty of prayer and saying, God, I want to trust you now. I'm tired of trusting me, and give me a chance to follow you and things like that. And you know, a lot of people that out in the world, you know, they say, well, hey, I don't see them. You know, it's a saying. I know you all make it quoted yourself as well. I used to hear it when I was growing up. And they used to say, out of sight. Come on, somebody say it. Out of what?
Out of mind.
See that saying right there? It's gone on so long. And so if a person don't see God, it's like he's out of sight. So I don't see it, so I don't believe it. But if he came
that's
down and
true.
Then I see it. And see, that's why our faith is supposed to be able to be put in motion. We have to encourage people to say, look, just have a little talk with us. And so one day, and I'm going to turn it back over again when I say this. When I was in that church listening to them people, and I heard somebody say, just a little talk with Jesus and make everything all right. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, you told him about just a little talk with him. And I remember I had to just step out on faith and have my little talk with him. It wasn't a long talk, it was just a little talk. And he responded to me. And I was so glad he did. Anybody ever had that opportunity where you say just a little still, small voice spoke back to you when you had that little talk with him, a heart-to-heart talk? Talk to us about that. You know, that personal, you know, just that time when you just know, you know, Lord, I need to hear from you. I'm going to just meditate on the thought of what I'm getting ready to do, and I don't want to continue to do this, and I'm just speaking to you and just asking you to help me. And that's the thing that I know, that it takes time to get that put in perspective. But you got to get started.
Well,
you know, that's the part of that. You got to get started. Talk to us about that, somebody.
For me, I'd love to hear that little voice, but it don't come to me that way. It comes through people. He comes through incidents. He comes through, I don't know, somebody else just coming up to me out the blue. Another story. So my daughter and I were in Walmart this weekend, and back to that. So maybe God put that on me Friday. I'll wait up through this weekend, but it was a lady working in there. She was a Walmart worker, and I just couldn't stop looking at her. She looked so sad, like, I don't know, something was wrong. And I just was compelled. I walked up to her and I asked her if I can just give her a hug, I mean, from me and from God. She said yes.
Okay.
So I hugged her. I held her. She held me. It was like we knew each other. And that was it. I told her thank you, and I prayed that God blessed her and whatever was going on, that it was going to be okay. And
awesome.
She looked me in the eye as if, almost like, okay, how you? So she said thank you and she walked on. But discipline, and people need to know God is not, I mean, he don't come to everybody the exact same way.
No, he doesn't.
So I think it's about developing a relationship with him. You got to come. I learned that when mama always said it, but it took her passing for me to fully understand. Mm. You have to have a relationship for yourself with him.
Yes,
when you start courting and going out with God for yourself, not through your mama, your grandmom, or your sister, or your pastor, but for yourself, Brother Rich, you're exactly right. You are a powerful man or woman, and nothing is impossible then. Nothing.
Yeah, that's it.
And I just want to say, sister, thanks. Thank you for that confirmation from God that he sent the message through you to let me know, as well as everybody else on this phone, that you're right. You know, everybody's not going to receive, that what he wants us to do, not only for ourselves, but for others, I've had it come through people. I've had it come through dreams.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's scary. And the part where I say scary is, it's almost like, give me a second. It's almost like if I don't pay attention, it'll get me on the back end if I don't pay attention.
Yeah. It's You'll be in trouble.
Being, exactly. It's almost like being disobedient towards God. So I would listen, right. I would rather listen, not saying I'm human. I'm saying I listen all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep it 100 because,
That's
this is my thing. We're fighting the flesh every day. Not every other day, but every day. You understand what I'm saying? But I can honestly say that I really appreciate that confirmation. I needed that.
That's beautiful because you always have to remember it's a personal relationship with God.
That's
why they need to try Him for yourself. And when you say whosoever will let Him come, that means that you got to try Him for yourself, and that's the best part about it.
But you have to try Him.
Mhm. Yeah, and it's good that a person can just step out on faith, because this is something that he has dealt everyone, and not everybody know that, and that's an understandable thing. So here we are, at this point in time, thinking about, as I bring forth the scripture, because I like to do that now that I'm more aware of what I didn't know, talking about it every day, as Brother Richardson just said, you say he's dealing with it every day. And so he speaks in Lamentations chapter 3. He says in these encouraging words. He said in verse number 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion failed not. And then it goes on to say, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I'm like, my goodness. He said they are new every morning. That means he gives us a brand new opportunity to step out on faith, to try him. And his mercy is just awesome. Could you imagine? I didn't get it today, but, I give it a shot tomorrow, just in case I'm here. And it won't take anything away from you. You say, there's a song that talks about it. He did not erase my future because of my past. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I think the past was a tough one. It was a rough one. But he didn't erase my future because he understood that my past was in a wreckage. And now he's going to destroy a way of, if I just call on him, because his mercy is new every morning, talk to us about, what it would be like to see our community, as Pastor Dockery often talked about, how to get the youth, the young ones, you understand, because some people are set in their ways and have already convinced themselves. Not to say that it's not changeable, but when you're set in your ways and then you're developing a way of life, and that you convinced that nobody can share nothing with you that'll make you turn from the way you are thinking. But I know that that's not so true. But here goes young people coming up. And we know that once they learn a couple of things about life,
it might be kind of hard to convince them if we don't give them something to pass down to them to say, hey, I understand what you're dealing with, but let me tell you what happened to you, you know what I mean? While I was thinking that way. And then you overcame it so you can pass it down and share that with them in case they'll listen. It's not crazy, but you have to force it upon them. But just in case somebody might say, okay, well, let me listen to this form of wisdom. You know what I mean? They should have a little something to offer me. I wonder if I could just take time out to listen to them, what would happen. And you never know. You know, you grab somebody that's out there right now and you seem like they're uncontrollable, and you're thinking, well, should I just walk by like those people did when you were talking about 3072, or should I happen to say something to you? And I think you have a sense of compassion on you, 3072, that just flares up at any time when you see somebody or you at the place where you was at when you asked the lady, you know, can I just give you a hug? You know what I mean? And that, to me, you know, to walk in compassion, oh, that's an assignment. You know, you can't
but it can be hurtful, too. It can be hurtful. Yeah. At them moments, I felt like I felt their pain. It was like I carried their, and that hurt, you know, to know, what can I do, God,
Believe it or not, sister, you know, I talked about how all of us have a gift.
Brother Richard, give me this one. Let's see if we can get a song in right quick, if you can.
Hey, you know, y'all keep going. This Reverend Doctor, y'all doing a good job. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Okay.
I dipped in, Pastor. I'm just leaving an event where there were four people on the same block who lost their son within six months.
Oh, man.
And so the police are out here at this event, so there's a lot of emotions flared. And I said to the group that one of the problems we have is the devil is getting two for one. One of our babies going to jail and the other one going to the grave.
But
the power to stop it is in our hands. So I appreciate what you all are saying. I appreciate what you all are saying. I won't be able to stay with you a long time, but I just wanted to tap in. And as I promised Pastor Wilder, I was going to do my best. It was a little hot out there, so we couldn't call in and kind of tap y'all into the whole conversation. But we appreciate what you're doing there.
Man, praise God. We're glad you were able to call in, man. That just blessed us because we've been thinking about you. We've been talking about you and some of the things that you say. And, you know, you keep us on track about some of the things that we should be concerned about with the community. So we're talking about the compassion and things like that. And you got anything else you need to say before you go? Amen.
Well,
welcome.
I appreciate you, Pastor, for holding up the bloodstained banner and all the callers that are online there. It's hope. I want y'all to know that it's hope. That's the one thing, and that's one thing I share with a lot of grieving men and women, you know, and both the victims and the perpetrators' loved ones were out there, and we just tried to bring a little healing to them all. We got to heal our community. We got to heal our community.
And you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting. Yeah,
right.
You got to keep a good fight of faith, and that's the thing that we talk about, you know, constantly as you continue to bring forth good information to us, man. We thank God for what you're doing. You know, but you can utilize the equipment. And so I thank God for being able to set in on your behalf and with the confidence that it'll be all right. And you got these great callers on, man. You know, they listen.
Bless you all. I won't be with you Thursday. I'll be out of pocket Thursday again, but we'll be back next Tuesday.
Glory to God.
All right.
Amen.
Okay.
All right, keep doing what you're doing.
Good luck out there, yeah.
All right, you all be blessed.
Okay.
You too.
All right, then.
Bless God. Amen. Yeah, Mr. Doctor still out there doing the work, and we thank God for what he's doing. As I said earlier, he's on the campaign trail out there lifting up the communities, encouraging them, and knowing that we have to do something. Because he said they're getting two for one. Is that what he just said?
Yeah.
And that, to me, they allow us to continue to self-destruct, and that is, you know, one of the things that I know it needs to be worked on even more, and it should be addressed constantly because it's so far out of hand now that until we get it in perspective, as we were talking about. And that is hope. Pastor Doctor just said that's hope, right? Okay, let's utilize the power of Scripture. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Therefore have I hope. So you got to recall and say, okay, what was I able to accomplish that brings forth hope that I think I can pass down and see that there's hope for our community? Somebody talk to us about there still being hope. There's faith is accepting the things hoped for. There were different things not seen. God got some unseen things. That if we just keep that hope alive, and that we can see our communities back into the peace that we actually are striving to get more of. But we need it. I mean, 2 for 1. I mean, that's terrible. What do you think about that, Sister Diane? You know, 2 for 1. I mean, come on.
Sit here yesterday, I was having a hard time myself. I was thinking about my baby son because yesterday was the anniversary. I was hoping and praying the whole way go that I didn't fall to pieces yesterday because I did the night before last. And I thought about it. There's so many kids out here, if they only knew the true value of life.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And love, they all fall hand in hand. And it's so very important, as they always used to say, you never miss your water till your well run dry and you get thirsty.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They thirsty for love and don't know how to show it.
Yeah,
and they
thirsty
for someone to do what you guys are doing. Instead of Pastor Dockery being out there enjoying the prime of his life, he's out there working hard, just like the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
Him and his wife. I think it's a beautiful thing that you guys have the opportunity to do this, because so many that's right in the cities where a lot of stuff is going on at, they say they're reaching out, but are they really? There's got to be a way. And going through the good Lord, I think, is the best way. And if you use different ones like you guys, and Pastor Dockery, and even maybe just a comment we share with you guys. And going in today, I'm like, I don't feel like being in no debate today. But my heart didn't lead me there. My heart led me on this radio station. Maybe it was for
Jesus to let me know.
He said there is hope. They are doing 2 for 1. And it ain't really just them. It's many for many, because the whole family on both sides lose.
That's so sad about it.
It's like dominoes. You hit that one, the rest of them going to collapse.
I'm going to ask you this, 37-2. Thanks, Diane, for sharing this. And after I put this out there, I want you to make sure, because I know exactly what you're talking about when he said 2 for 1. Me being in the ministry and in the communities, and it's like they rise up against one another. And so when one of the young guys hear one of the brothers, and I said, man, I might know both families. That's what I would say. And end up sometimes I do know both families, and I have to speak at the funeral. You know what I mean? And I know both parties. Could you imagine what I'm dealing with, knowing that I know both parties? And that has not just been one time. It's just been once. And so it just got to me when he made known of the 2 for 1. So talk to us about that 37-2 and the things and some of the suggestions, you know. And I'm not saying I want that to take place again, but there's times I'm in that position, you know, and if I didn't have to do another funeral the rest of my life, I would be all right with it. But just in case I have to again in that situation, what would be a good suggestion? You know what I mean? Because families are hurting at that point, but then the family know each other. You see, the family know each other. So talk to me about that.
Yeah.
The families know each other, but yet still they don't have hate for each other. But this just took place with one of the kids killing the other. And one is going to the penitentiary to catch them, or it's going to be some retaliation.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, if you will.
So how I would look at that, and again, back to that compassion, that care. So I'm hurting for the grieving family that lost the child, and I'm hurting for the young man who did the dumb, senseless, reckless thing by maybe pulling the trigger, or, you know, I'm hurting for both of them. So I have to keep that in perspective. I've lost one because he's gone. He's dead. I mean, and I have to be compassionate and sympathetic to the family there while at the same time trying to help them to see that being angry even, they can be angry. But I, getting caught up in their emotions is not going to bring that person back.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring them back. I used to sit up and watch how, like, victims of somebody killed a child, or and they would sit up and say, well, they didn't want to press charges, or they didn't care what happened to the person, because that's not going to bring their loved one, which is true.
Yeah.
We have to focus on, I think, the issue at hand, which is we need a healing. We need a healing. We need a healing. We need help. And, yes, we're going to lose battles. Lives are going to be lost. But what about those that we can save? Like maybe helping that family not to be so bitter to maybe considering going out and retaliating. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. That's
pretty much what else can you do? But you're right. You can't choose sad because you own the sad, and that's the sad for Jesus.
Yeah,
so you got to still speak the truth, proclaim it.
That's what I've done, and that's why I wanted to hear, you know what I mean, because, you know, one may think, well, hey, this is such and such a funeral. This is not no celebration to me. This, I don't feel good about this, you know. But when
that's
you all call on me, I got to stand firm on what my assignment is. So you don't imagine
that's
what
right.
I feel. But I just wanted to put that out and everything. When he mentioned two for one, it just hit me all over again, because I have known some of the families concerning both parties many times that's going on. So we are hurting, and we need to get to the bottom of it, bring forth the peace and the love, and bring back what the communities deserve, and that is such a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, that's the peace that we need in our community. We have to fight for it. We have to continue every day to continue to seek information and how to present it to the world. It's out there, you know, they got so much before them right now. I mean, and it captures their minds. And Pastor Doctor emphasizes about what I said about the trap constantly. You all know that. Because it actually is one set there. And when it sits there and it captures you, then you respond to being in captivity in such a way. And, oh, man, there's so much comes from it. But in the midst of all, there's still hope. And that's where we have to be at. We know that there's still hope, and keep fighting for it. Don't even make it as if it's impossible, because it keeps happening, you see. And that's what I fight for when I'm in the streets. You know, I can't let what I see cause me to stop striving for what it can be. You know what I mean? And that's not easy. Not easy. And man, I'm looking at all of this that's going on, and so it's like, okay, and then the enemy attacked me like, there's no help for these people. They're not going to hear you. They're not this and that and other. But I still say, God brought me out. He can bring another generation out. I just keep believing that. So I just thank God for what we're talking about, power of the testimony, and what can be done by way of good success. That means sharing it with others and let it be known. Because that's what the scripture says. You know, we overcome, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So go ahead, 37. Talk on to it.
I was going to just say, Diane made a really good point about bringing up the fact that about Pastor Dockery being in the prime of his life and still choosing to try to go out there and, you know, hold up the bloodstained banner. And even living that life before. And, you know, now you're not doing that, but you could be doing something else too. Brother Don Rich could be doing something else. She could be doing something else. Today
That's
is
right.
the day that I buried my mother last year, and it's my son's birthday. Like she said, you know, I wasn't up for debate, but no, that meant a lot to me to make sure we continue to support one another, the show.
Right.
And, yeah, we got to just stay, keep going, keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah,
and that may not seem like a whole lot, but it's something. Something
it
beats nothing.
Yeah. Good God of mine. You said it. You said it right there. You definitely said
right.
it. Something
I just wanted to, you know, when Pastor Wallace
had asked you, you know, your opinion, you know, about the 2-for-1. And, I'm always that, you know, as my wife tells me, you know, she's my voice of reason. So it's something that I want to do. And she'll tell me, well, no, baby, you can't do it because of this, that, those, and other. Even now, I still don't understand. But getting to the point, you know, I just want to paint a picture. You know, let's just say, you know, on both sides of this tragedy, you know, both families, let's just say, you know, they had a business, okay? You know, the mothers as well as the father, and that the children were able to be with their parents after school. Would this have happened? You know,
True that.
I don't see it. The reason why I say that is because, you know, and I've talked about this numerous times. I do it on my video. I talk about it. I even talk to my mother as well as the rest of my family. God was an entrepreneur. What stops us from being entrepreneurs? That's why these kids are reaching out to the streets, because they see us as aunts, uncles, pops, mothers, etc., and they feel like we don't have time to teach them, and they're right because we spend the most time to take care of them. But if we, you know, are so close to God, okay, and he guides us where he wants us to be, okay, we have to continue to tap in to what we're good at, okay, as adults, and then be able to teach our kids and find out what they like to do. Regardless if it's a numerous amount of things or whether it's just one or two. You know, I don't think, you know, it's just my opinion. I don't think having a child running a ball or throwing a ball is something that is something that God would want us to say, well, hey, nobody can take this away from me. Well, as you can see, even football can be taken away from you. You know, after you do a careless act, your career is over. But not trying to steer away two families, definitely my condolences and my prayers go out to these families. But if it could have been someone in both sides of the families, regardless if it was the mother or the father, but it may have been a divorce situation. Our divorce rate in the black families are at an all-time high. It's a whole lot of factors. You know, so we just have to pray, you know, all across the board and continue to ask God to not only give us strength, but the people that we don't even know, give them strength as well. I just, you know, kind of, it's sad that, you know, that the devil was allowed to come in and, you know, take two lives. It's sad, but I think one of the things that, in closing, it's going to continue to happen until we wake up.
You got a point. You got a good point right there. And
so lots of times I say things on my videos. I've said some things on here that I didn't want to say. But somebody has to say something as well as do. You know, lots of times people, you know, they put a lot of sugar in their words when they talk to people. It's time to take that sugar out of our words and tell people without cursing. You can tell someone something straight up without, you know, using harsh profanity and letting them know.
Yeah.
This is you don't do what needs to be done.
Thanks, Don Rich. It could be the case that maybe they was a one-parent home and maybe the mom wasn't just living the best life you know, herself, or maybe she failed to give, obviously, wise instruction or counsel to her son, or whatever the case is. But then that's the pastor's place to step up and help redirect. Redirect. No, not take away her sorrow or her loss, because he can't. He can't do that.
No,
but
you don't want
to get stuck and trapped in that, and allow that to further lead you on a path of destruction. So, meaning you have another son left, maybe. Focus on this child now. Learn from that past mistake. That child that dad was a sacrifice. He was a sacrifice.
You're right.
Yeah, man. The sister and my brother.
Go ahead.
I was just only going to say that I agree with her, but I also know that this is a true fact as far as I'm concerned, that it's easy for us, if you haven't walked a mile in someone's shoes, how can you actually honestly know how they feel totally? You can't.
Right.
Right.
And you just can't. Because it's easy for someone to say, well, you don't do that, or you don't. It's just like with our own children. You could tell them, but life is the best teacher that I know. Experience, wisdom, knowledge. You would not get that if you were perfect, because you're not perfect.
Right.
We're always born into this world of sin. But then someone had to teach you. God made you an angel until you reach a certain age to know right from wrong, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. So let me ask you this, sister. I've heard you speak numerous of times before, and I respect you to the fullest, and I still do. The reason why I had to, intervene, and I'm so sorry, is because, you know, even as a child, me coming up, is one thing that I wasn't taught, that I was taught that I had to self-teach myself, that I feel like should have been taught as a child, that the system, here I go again, the system is not designed to teach us what we actually need to do. We have to self-educate our children.
Because the system shouldn't be doing that.
With all disrespect, the system is not designed to do that.
That's right. That's right. It shouldn't be.
To keep from people playing like cowboys and Indians running around just killing people, which is kind of, in a certain way, what's going on now.
You're right.
Okay, so it's someone designed to raise your children, but it takes the village, as we called it, the tribe.
You're right.
Help some of these kids, you can talk to them, and they may be the first one to jump up and cuss you out.
You have to be careful
in 2018, because it's not like it used to be when you were a child.
I
was a child. It has changed from generation to generation. I watch a lot of old television movies, and sometimes I'll be thinking, I wish I was born back then. Men really love women then.
Yeah.
And they work hard. You don't know that each generation, well, you do know, each generation takes its own course. That's called time. Time changes. That clock don't stop running.
Right.
Can I say this?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Diane was saying about, you know, nobody knowing somebody else's pain or walking their mouths, because you can't. They're their mouths. But at the same time, and I think, wow, that's the hurtful part. So when you're sad and you're crying and you're emotional and you're soaking even on something, some counsel, there's nothing wrong with somebody coming to you with the truth. Now, it may not be what you want to hear, because you upset. I would be upset, too, if somebody, God forbid, were to kill my son. I would, yes. You probably would have to talk a gun up at my hand.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I pray to God that the gun is able to be talked, because I know today that that's not the way. That's not what should happen. And that's not going to help, but it's going to hurt things even more.
So with that, you're right. I mean, go ahead.
It would continue to bring the two for one in. And if you don't mind, let me say this.
We're
winding down, and we had a great dialogue tonight. And I wanted to say this because, again, in the families that know each other, we're back to that again, if you will. And so one day there was a guy that had just got killed by some of the people in the same hood. And so somebody shared it with me, and when they asked me would I go up there and say something because they was going to have a vigilance. And so a guy heard this, that I was going to go and say something, and he stopped me. He said, man, Rev, they're not going to listen to you, man. He said, you need to leave that alone, man. He said, these guys are getting ready to retaliate, man, and they just getting ready to just go do it. I mean, so I understood where he was coming from, but I still have to go, man. I said, because the kids just cried out to me and asked me would I go up and see the business. He said, I'm telling you, Rev, man. He said, and it's what he called me. I'm telling you, Rev, they're not going to listen to you, man. I'm telling you, man, if I was you, I wouldn't go, man, because they get ready to retaliate. So make a long story short, I went on. And I went to the park, and then we circled up, and they were doing their vigils, and I had a chance to talk. And it was until, it's been over a year and a half ago, the guy just came to me the other day and told me, he said, Rev, I want to let you know, man. He said, man, you stopped a lot of killing, man, that was getting ready to take place.
Yeah.
This is what the guy told me. Yeah, I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't know I stopped none of that. But I went on in spite of what the guy told me. He said, man, they're not going to listen to you. I'm telling you, Rev, because they're at the heat of the moment. They're thinking about retaliating, and it was just it was all in the air. And I just thank God for that young guy who told me. He didn't have to tell me that. He told me that a year and a half or two later, and it gave me a reminder. Just think about hadn't said anything.
That's
and them guys,
right.
It would have been not only two for one, it would have been more and more. Praise God.
Yeah,
God, you was saved in the blood of Jesus, honey. He was watching you. And he was protecting you. And that's why that young man, I believe, came to you.
It really is. It was. I tell you, it's been a great show. I mean, we just praise God for everybody. I'm going to give everybody a chance to talk. And we got only 30 seconds from each one and get on up out of here. We got 3 minutes left, you know. And we'll start out with the first one who decides to talk, and then we'll get the other two. 30 seconds worth of encouragement to somebody, if you will.
All right. I just want to thank everybody, Joe, and be encouraged and be encouraging. That's all I got to say.
Praise God. Thank you for that. All right. Who's next? Go ahead, Brother Rich. Go ahead, because we all
Sorry. Well, as always, I love everyone. It's nothing you can do about it, and I'm not taking it back. Let's continue to link up through social media. You know, let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. Let's try to, you know, continue. That's what social media is about, being able to link up and see if we can't some kind of way contribute to our communities, regardless to what city we stay in, and just keep God first and the devil last. That's it.
Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, Sister Diane, you can close on up with what you have to say. Yeah,
all
give
right.
us something. All right.
Thank God for Jesus for all of you guys, and as well as me being able to speak. I'd rather be encouraged than discouraged.
Glory
Amen.
To God. Amen. Rather be encouraged than discouraged. Well, it's been wonderful. We just thank God for everyone who had a chance to speak, as well as those who was listening to Talk Straight. We ask you to tune back in with us on the next time. On behalf of Pastor Doc in his absence, we trust that something was said tonight that will draw each one of us a little bit closer to God and his way of doing things. I just want to be able to be an encourager. And I know that everyone on this line tonight was doing likewise. So we just praise God for everybody. And I pray your strength. I pray that we will tune in on the next time. Amen. But until now and then, we embrace whatever has been said. And for that that hadn't been revealed yet, that's God's secret. So show up on the next round, and we'll talk a little bit more about what God has in store for us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
until we meet again,